Welcome to Season 2 of my podcast, Friends, Relationships, Careers, and MTV. More of the best stuff on earth for you, me, us.
I'm back, and I have a super special guest. And we're here to talk about her childhood and growing up on a farm. Hello.
Hello.
I don't know anybody else who's grown up on a farm, so...
I grew up with horses and cows and pigs, and I raised rabbits for 4-H. Most people I meet in the city have no idea what 4-H is. And I was a member of the FFA.
Which
Future
is?
Future Farmers of America.
Okay.
Cats, dogs, etc.
What did you guys grow?
Hogs. It was a hog farm.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah.
And then what happens to the hogs?
You take them to become pork.
Oh, so you were living like in a Charlotte's Web, kind of?
No, we weren't allowed to name the meat animals. You don't name meat animals because then you become attached to them like, you know, Wilbur.
You didn't even get like a special pet?
With my rabbits, I did.
Okay, because you
don't eat
those.
For my 11th birthday, my best friend gave me a rabbit, and I actually wasn't really quite sure how to react to it because I was afraid that my parents would make me give it back. But my dad was so excited. He's like, I raised rabbits for 4-H too. And he like built me these rabbit pens, and he's like so excited. He went out and bought me 3 does because my friend had given me a buck. Do you know what that is?
A deer?
No, rabbits have the same terminology as deer.
I did not know that. What is a buck?
So, a buck is a boy.
Oh, okay.
But my friend had given me a boy. He's like, my dad's like, you're going to breed rabbits and you're going to show them at the county fair and you're totally going to become, like, raise them for food.
Oh.
And so.
What is a female
a
bunny
doe.
Called? Really?
Yeah.
Fascinating. Okay.
So my buck was my pet. He was Snowfoot was his name.
Okay.
And the does, I think we named those does. And, you know, as generations went on, we were able to name the ones that were going to grow to adulthood. But the ones that were to be slaughtered did not get names.
And how long has your family been farmers at that point? Like generations, generations, or just like 2 or 3?
Well, as you know, I also do family history.
Yes, I do.
And I am descended from the ugliest man in the state.
Congratulations.
Thanks. I have really great genes. And so that's 8 generations back that he was a hunter and a trapper.
Yeah.
In Tennessee, and then he moved up to Illinois, so became a farmer in Illinois, and all through those generations, it was all farmers.
And so, you know, when they say that you lived on a farm and then you had to go uphill both ways and that kind of stuff, like, in theory, you would have to, like, you did that, like, you weren't metaphorically doing that.
We had a school bus.
That. Okay. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're also from a very small town, right?
Yeah, 2,700 people.
Yeah.
I graduated with 42 people.
So, I mean, between the farming and this sort of, like, the small townness, I mean, it's a part of America that I've never touched. And that most of my friends have also, you know, we don't know that either. And, you know, that's why I have so many questions about it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, even though now when I see you in a city and I see you, like, doing, like, you know, things that everybody else would be doing. So that's a part of life I can't even really imagine except through the context of TV shows or books.
Well, I had friends in Chicago. I'd be like, I'm going home for the weekend. They're like, oh, to Utah? And I was like, no, my family lives, you know, just down the road. Relatively, you know.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, you know, I keep having to remind myself that you're a farm girl.
Hmm.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, what does that mean? What does that mean?
I mean, is their idea of farm girl an utter lack of sophistication? I don't know.
I see pigtails and overalls. I mean, that's all I see.
I do have pictures of pigtails and overalls, not necessarily in the same picture.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, so when you literally went from like a tiny, tiny city to a big city. So when they're like, yeah, you are from the farm, like, are they saying that like as a fact or like as a condescending, you know, like what are you reading from that?
I think I was just reading like, you don't really know me at all if you don't get that part of me. Honestly, we were organic farmers, mostly because we were too poor to afford fertilizers and all that kind of stuff. So we were doing things in a very old-fashioned way on the farm because it's just the kind of thing that my family has always done. So what's really funny is this whole family farm organic movement. I just laugh at it because I'm like, you know, 20 years ago, if we had had this movement, our family farm would have been saved. My dad was actually one of the millions of farmers who lost their land in the 80s. You know,
because of why?
So in the 70s, a bunch of farmers were convinced by their local bankers to expand on the amount of land that they bought because land was super cheap.
Okay.
And in the 80s, those mortgages came due and the taxes on them rose because we had a land bubble. That was one of the first big land bubbles.
Okay.
And the farmers were the ones who lost out. And that's where all that big development came in the 80s, because that land was being sold off to developers because farmers couldn't afford to farm it anymore.
Like it wasn't worth it anymore.
It wasn't worth it anymore. They couldn't make a living on it anymore. That's the whole reason why Farm Aid happened. Because American farmers could not make ends meet. That's where all the farm subsidies we have today came from.
Was there a subsidy from for pigs?
If there was, we didn't get one.
I see. I also think,
so
you know,
we lost the big farm and we rented our the farm that I mostly grew up on was a little 80-acre plot of land that had a couple of barns on it. It was enough to, you know, we had 7 or 8 horses, up to 12 at one point, 8 or 12 head of cattle, 8 or 12 head of pigs, and that left us about 40 acres to raise oats. We would rotate oats, hay, and corn on. And then my dad would, he drove a truck actually to support the farm.
Okay.
And my dad would help my grandpa on his other land. So a lot of farmers did that. They would just, it was more a way of life than a business. But nowadays, farming is a business.
It's like a business. And was everybody else, like in your school around you guys, they're all farmers for the most part?
No, a lot of town kids.
Town kids.
Well, our school, our town was a little different because most of the surrounding towns had consolidated, but we had held out and not consolidated with other towns. And so we had a lot of town kids, but I would say a good 30 or 40% of the kids were country kids or from the next town over, Bishop Hill, which is where I would, I worked. It was a Swedish tourist trap nearby that would, that I worked at in high school in a Swedish bakery.
You're going to have to go into that. I don't know what that means. A Swedish tourist trap, as in you are dressing up as Swedes, or like the
well,
Swedish people are coming.
Okay, so Biskupskula was okay. A religious zealot town where this religious sect that was running away from the state religion of Lutheranism in Sweden came and mm-hmm. settled
okay.
in Illinois. And they were a pretty weird lot. They believed, they were like the Shakers. They believed in celibacy, so they all mm-hmm. died out.
Oh, good for them.
But I'm unclear on exactly what happened next, but there are still descendants of those original settlers who like weren't part of that part or something mm-hmm. or came right after, or they were relatives. I don't know. But now it's a town of about 500 people tops.
Okay.
And when I was in high school, it was at the height of its attracting tourism. The King of Sweden came to visit once.
Wow.
And during the summertime, they have all these little buildings that you can go around and you can see people. They raise broom corn, so you can see them harvesting the broom corn and making brooms out of it. And I worked at a Swedish bakery, and there's another place down the way that does there's a real Swedish meatballs restaurant, and another place that sells Swedish kitsch.
Oh.
you know, stuff like that.
I mean, this was like IKEA before IKEA.
Yes.
Basically.
Without the furniture.
Right. Without selling you stuff, but you got meatballs. And so, like, what did you guys do, you know, for fun?
Well, when we were kids, we would go into town and hang out with the townies and play at the park or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We would go to my grandma's house. My grandma lived in town.
Okay.
And she, you know, town is maybe 2 miles across. And so it was such a safe town. She would send us down to the grocery store alone. You know, we'd be able to get penny candy at the dime store. Like, we still had a dime store in the 1970s and 1980s.
Okay.
Like, I felt like half the time I felt like I was growing up in the 1950s.
Right.
It was, I mean, super safe town that you could do anything in, you know?
Yeah.
In high school, I was the boring geek who, you know, I was involved in every single activity, almost literally, in our school. So I didn't have a whole lot of free time. I was always going from one activity to another or a job. But a lot of people would go over to the next town over and drag Maine.
Okay. Up and down the street.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, this is kind of...
It's boring, like, thing ever.
Is, or, it boring? It seems very fun in movies.
Or they go... Like, it's like... Well, yeah, we saw Footloose, the new Footloose together. It's like that.
Oh, it's like the new Footloose.
Yeah, it's a lot like that. Well, it was a lot like the original Footloose, only without the dancing band.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. You know, most people, I think their depiction of what you did and where you came from, like, everybody has an idea of it, but, you know, they don't really know, right? I mean, they don't really know that you are from this space that they only see in movies, because to them, that's like a remnant of the past. I mean, to me, it's like, I feel like when I go to just any sort of small town America, like, I feel like it's such a foreign experience. Like, it's if I could go to Europe and be like, I feel much more comfortable here than I feel in a small town.
Well, it's probably also, small town Midwest is either black or white.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. I mean, yeah. Usually white.
Yeah.
The next town, I might have told you the story before, that the only time, other than a few Latinos in my hometown, yeah, which I grew up with, I think, 4 or 5 of them. But there was a rumor that there was a black guy who lived in our town.
Okay. Just a rumor.
Just a rumor. Yeah. He was a rumor, literally. And I never met him until I was working the summer after I graduated from high school. I was working at the local grocery store. And he came in and bought something. I was like, hey!
You're like, hey, I heard about you.
He's really real.
Wow. And that was it. There's one black person in your town.
Yeah.
Wow.
But right after my parents got divorced, I had lived in a bigger town from like first to fourth grade. Uh-huh. So I had known more people of color in that town over. Mm-hmm. It just depends on the town.
Okay.
But going to university, it was so much more diverse. It was a completely different world. I mean, and I think I've told you also before that in the fourth grade, actually, this is the conversation that started us being friends.
Okay.
That told you that when I was in the fourth grade, I wanted to be Japanese.
Oh, yes.
I was obsessed with Japan in the fourth grade.
How did you know about Japan?
It was a geography assignment.
Okay. They're like, go to the encyclopedia and look at some Japanese people.
Well, no, it wasn't even Japanese people. I was fascinated with, you know, the language and the idea of, in 1984, Japanese people, kids, were considered the best in the world, the smartest in the world. And I wanted to be the smartest kid in the world. So I would sit around being all philosophical fourth grader, because that is actually the best time to be a philosopher. There are so many fourth graders who are little philosophers. And I would sit and wonder, why wasn't I born in Japan instead of here? I was really upset.
What did you get your conception of what a Japanese person would be like? Television?
No.
Books?
Well, the news.
The news, okay.
And the encyclopedia. I mean, or, well, there was that one, what's his name? That Domo Arigato Mr. Roboto.
I wasn't here then. I know that song now, but I don't know who that was that you're referring to.
Barry Manilow or something like that.
Yeah. So it was all outside cultural influences that were kind of telling you about them, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you know, I feel like just as much as you were wanting to be, because you only want to be this thing because they were the best.
Yeah.
Not because necessarily you knew anything.
Had like personal experience with a Japanese person or anything.
Right. Right. I guess that makes sense. Because you wanted to be
that
not of your town.
That would be so cool. No, I didn't necessarily not want to be of my town, though. Well, yeah. But more, I always used to think I was switched at birth because I could not be part of my family.
Oh, I see. Because you wanted to be Japanese.
Well, no, I wanted to... Well, either that or one of the Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, a very let's talk about the Dukes of Hazzard. Is that relevant to your life? I mean, it is, right? Probably.
Yeah. I mean, that's from the South, so there's
okay, right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I feel like I'm showing my ignorance of small town America because everything I have a reference to is like, yo, is it like the Beverly Hillbillies? Is it like the Dukes of Hazzard? Like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
I understand that those are comedies, though. They're making fun of.
I don't know. You know, like everything I know is like, yo, did you grow up Little House on the Prairie? Like, I don't even know.
You know, what's really funny is that all those shows you named, we watched them all the time when I was growing up. I'm serious. They were some of our favorite shows, but they didn't reflect our lives.
At all. Like, they were just not the same either.
They were just entertainment.
Okay.
We could relate to them.
And I think you've told me that at some point in your life, you'll likely move back?
No.
No, never. Never.
No.
Like, you're never going back?
No.
Because of it's too small for you.
Well, number one, no. Number one, there are never any jobs.
No jobs.
Like I said, people who are still living nearby... They're within a couple of hours. They're like Chicago or Champaign or the Quad Cities.
Mm. Okay.
Which is all at least an hour away.
Yeah.
And there are jobs for them because they're all like engineers and stuff.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Doing what I do, no.
No, not gonna happen. And you don't even want that.
No.
Yeah.
For all sorts of reasons.
Right. Of course. We won't go into those right now, but yeah.
I used to think that I was going to end up there. That might be what you thought.
Okay.
But I always thought I would marry a farmer.
Well, I guess we're glad that you didn't. maybe you would have really enjoyed being a farmer's wife. I don't know.
I had the chance. No.
I can't imagine so. I mean, I'm just being elitist here, but I'm going to be like, I'm going to go ahead and say right now, don't do it. Not a good idea. It seems like a lot of work for not a lot of reward. All right. Okay. Well, thank you for coming to the farm.
Thank you.
From the farm.